Thank you for listening to Scandinavian Crimes Podcast. Be sure to check out the episode links and be part of our other social media platforms where you can leave a topic suggestion or even share some of your insights regarding the subject matter of the episode. We will always do our best to provide a well-researched episode, but sometimes due to limited access to information and translation issues, some information can be lost. It is therefore good to do your own research and get a deeper understanding of a case of your own interest. So with that all said, let us start today's episode.
Welcome to another episode of Scandinavian Crimes. So today's going to be different. It's not, I don't have Delilah with me. Like, she's with me, but, you know, not like with me on the podcast. Basically, this episode is to kind of bridge the gap between the last episode and the episode that's going to be coming out next week. So consider this a bonus or a true definition of a mini episode. There were some people who did reach out regarding the episode, the last episode about the Johanna Mahler in the Arboga murders. I don't know why I'm stuttering right now. But so even though she herself was not a murderer, because some people were talking about the fact that, okay, well, she's a murderer, you know, like, but she didn't do anything in herself. You know, she, you know, can be classified as a manipulator or classified as someone who pulls strings, mastermind, but, you know, she herself did not commit the murders. Well, what's interesting about that is that in most countries, I would say even in the States, if you are someone who, let's say, you're responsible for masterminding a murder, oftentimes you can still be charged as if you did the murder, because if you did not mastermind the idea to come up with this murder, the people would still be alive. So basically, even though you yourself didn't kill someone, and yes, the person who killed the person who actually acted out on the crime, yes, they do have the ability to walk away from the situation and turn the person in, they are also just as responsible as basically the person who came up with the idea. So, you know, that's pretty much how that works in a lot of situations. And it does work like that in Sweden as well. I know it's probably not as common as it is in the US. And even then, that varies depending on which state you're in and, you know, where you are and all that stuff. But that is something that does take place. And people need to, I guess, just to help people understand that even though she herself did not commit the murder, she was the mastermind behind it. Now, also some other details that I think some people need to, I guess, not need to, but ultimately some information that people said basically, I guess, need to know about the whole situation before the whole next part is that, you know, they did at some point do a psych evaluation on her and all that stuff. So, you know, we'll get into more details of that. But what's so interesting is that, you know, she had a very interesting case of personality traits like narcissism, psychopathy, and it was authored by Swedish researchers focusing on her profile. And she had a very keen ability to assess and manipulate individuals and saying what others needed to hear and make promises in order to get the result that she needed. Now, the promises that she made were likely, you know, in Muhammad, who was staying with her, was basically just allowing him an opportunity to have a place to stay, have a place to eat, have a place to stay safe. And oftentimes when people are in very tough situations, they are often willing to do that in order to maintain that life in which they came from, you know, because can you think about like coming from, you know, country, a war-torn country, and then someone offers you the ability to stay not only in a warm place, but a place that actually looks nice, feels nice, has food, you have clean clothes, you're able to shower, you know, that some people will truly, you know, do almost anything to keep that. And that was the case with Muhammad. And she saw that he, you know, was someone who was desperate. Now, what's also something that some people did bring up in regards to the situation is, like, once again, her ability was to assess and manipulate individuals. Now, what people don't realize is, when, let's say, for example, there are some parents out there, I'm pretty sure, who listen to the podcast. If you have stubborn children, I know it can be annoying and frustrating, and sometimes you do have to be patient, but having stubborn children can end up actually working in their favor if, you know, you, for the most part, you make sure you show them the right path in life. because that means they cannot be manipulated by people like this. People who are stubborn, actually a lot of narcissists avoid, you know, stubborn people or people who are very strong-willed individuals, because once their mind is made up, there's nobody who's going to change their mind in order for them to do what that person may want them to do. And so in this case, you know, even though she was very keen and manipulating individuals, there was a limitation to what she was able to do with people who had a solid foundation and how they grew up and the things that they wanted out of the world, and they knew how to get it, and they were go-getters, and they were strong, like I said, strong-willed and, you know, stubborn. It's hard to manipulate people like that. So oftentimes personalities like hers will typically avoid people who she couldn't manipulate, which is why she probably had a better relationship with her dad versus, you know, with her mother. Her mother probably was far less likely to be manipulated and saw through her, you know, her tomfoolery, versus her dad, who for a long time was just providing her with whatever she wanted, and she was able to pull his strings for her entire life and basically, you know, get what she wanted. And it wasn't until the wife finally said enough was enough, and then the dad saw, like, okay, this is becoming a problem, her behavior, and that's when they cut her off, and that's when the escalation happened with the murder of the parents. So it's just some little tidbits, some little details about, like, you know, when you're going into the next part, because you know, this next part is a little, it's detailed, it's just detailed, it's not going to be like extra long, but there's a lot more detail that we need to focus on. But I wanted to make this episode specifically so that way people can understand what's going on with this case, and I probably do this for part twos and, well, episodes that have part ones and part twos, because of questions we get regarding situations like this, because some details we just can't include, you know, because of translation issues, but because sometimes in some cases there's so many bits of information about their personality, about the things that they're willing to do or not willing to do, or the people involved. So keep this stuff in mind when you're going into the next part of the episode. It's really important. And, you know, she is someone who was highly manipulative. And even though she herself did not commit the murders by her own hand, she did not, you know, at least from part one, she is still classified as, you know, a murderer, because she is the one who initiated. She's the catalyst for these murders that took place. And if she was not involved in this situation, if she didn't get involved with Muhammad, or even for the sake, if she was never born, you know, by the definition of the scenario, this would have never happened, you know. So just keep that in mind when going into the next part. There are a lot of things that, you know, you should be remembering regarding her character, and also why certain things happened the way they did based on who she is and what she's able to do, and why Muhammad did what he did and all that stuff. Because we chat with you guys, and some people reach out, and we have these, not like arguments, they're not arguments at all, because we like the conversation, but, you know, these like nice little debates. And even though, you know, in regular circumstances, this probably would stand up, the points that people are making, I want to be clear that, you know, she was an expert at what she was doing. She was someone who can see someone who was insecure or someone who needed something, and she would do whatever it took to get into that person's head and manipulate them. And the only way out of it was unless you stood steadfast in your own character and who you were and just did not give in. And even though I think maybe 60 or 70% of people would probably, you know, fall in that category, there are people, whether it be for immigration reasons or whatever reasons, who fall in the other category where they'll do anything to maintain a sense of, you know, nice life or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, that's all I wanted to say. A little ranty, a little bit of a run-on sentence, but let me know what you think. Next week we'll have part two for this, to continue this whole murderer Joanna Mahler. And yeah, just reach out, go listen to the previous episode, and go listen to the previous episodes in general. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to chat some more. And sorry about the short episode, because, you know, like I said, in a couple episodes, there's a lot of things going on, moving and new places and, you know, new opportunities. So I still wanted to give you guys something to let you know, hey, we're still working. But, you know, sometimes we have to put a pause on things as we transition from something else to something else. So once again, listen to the last episode and feel free to reach out if you want to talk about, you know, the case in general. And I shall see y'all next week for part two. Peace out.